From NPR News in Washington, I'm Carol Van Dam. Police have swept into the landmark square occupied by pro-democracy protesters in Bahrain overnight, wielding batons and firing tear gas. At least two deaths are being reported by the main opposition group there. New York Times reporter Michael Slackman, who's in Bahrain, says the attack seemed to come out of nowhere.
By 3 a.m., people were asleep. At that point, a huge army of police roared in. They driving Toyota Land Cruisers with their blue lights flashing. They screamed in from every angle. They surrounded the circle. The police got out, approached the protesters, and without saying a word, began beating some, fired tear gas into the crowd. I didn't see this myself, but people who had escaped from the circle said that they were hit with percussion grenades.
New York Times reporter Michael Slackman. The violence marks a reversal in tactics for the government. Bahrain's leaders reined in security forces after clashes left two people dead on Monday. Another large crowd is expected in Madison, Wisconsin, at the state capitol on Thursday, as lawmakers prepare to vote on a bill that would eliminate most collective bargaining rights for state workers. Marty Michelson of member station WUWM in Milwaukee says thousands have been demonstrating for days against the proposal.
The plan is part of an effort to fix a deficit in the current state budget. Under the bill, unionized workers would have to contribute more to their health insurance and pension funds, and union leaders would be stripped of their negotiating ability except for wages. State teachers, city and county workers have been protesting at the Capitol for a couple days, carrying signs that read, "Stop the attack on Wisconsin families," and calling for the ouster of Governor Scott Walker. He says he proposed the bill because the state is broke and has nothing to offer the unions. For NPR News, I'm Marty Michelson in Madison, Wisconsin.
A group of 17 current and former members of the U.S. military has filed a class action lawsuit against the Pentagon, accusing officials of not taking seriously their complaints of sexual harassment and rape. NPR's David Weller reports Defense Secretary Robert Gates has acknowledged to congressional lawmakers that things are not as they should be.
Defense Secretary Gates, who's named in the lawsuit, told the House Armed Services Committee the Pentagon has trained prosecutors and stationed sexual victim advocates at all U.S. military installations. And although he said the Pentagon has zero tolerance for sexual assault,
the fact is we aren't where we should be. It is a matter of grave concern, and we will keep working at it.
Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman Admiral Mike Mullen agreed.
It is unacceptable that, we haven't gotten where we need to be on this. We know this is an extraordinarily difficult issue.
Mullen said there's concern over anecdotal evidence of sexual assaults among U.S. troops in Iraq and especially in Afghanistan. David Wallen, NPR News, the Capitol.
The Dow gained 61 points to end at 12,288. This is NPR. Florida Governor Rick Scott is canceling a proposed high-speed train line between Orlando and Tampa promoted by President Obama. As James Call of Florida Public Radio reports, Governor Scott says the cost is too high for Florida, even with $2.4 billion in federal help.
Governor Scott said cost overruns and a good chance ridership won't pay for operating costs made the project too risky for Florida to participate.
My job is to represent the taxpayers of the state, and I'm not comfortable that this is a project that we ought to be doing. It's not a project that I'm comfortable is going to get a return for the investors, and I represent the investors of Florida, the taxpayers.
Florida joins Ohio and Wisconsin in rejecting federal money from the Obama administration for high-speed rail projects. For NPR News, I'm James Call in Tallahassee.
Commuters here in the nation's capital might have done a double take Wednesday morning when they saw something unusual pass by. As NPR's Nell Greenfield Boyce reports, it was a flatbed truck carrying a famous fake dinosaur known as Uncle Beasley.
Uncle Beasley is a 25-foot-long fiberglass triceratops. It was donated to the Smithsonian back in the 1960s, and for years it stood outside the Natural History Museum on the National Mall, where it delighted children who'd come to visit the nation's capital. In recent years, it's been on display across town at the National Zoo. Teresa Vedic is a curator at the zoo. She says the dinosaur needs a facelift and was traveling to Landover, Maryland to get one.
They're going to be repainting him and repairing any small minor cracks that he may have gotten over the years.
She says Uncle Beasley will return to the zoo in mid-March. Nell Greenfield Boyce, NPR News.
Oil prices are higher in Asia. Benchmark crude for March is up 4 cents. I'm Carol Van Dam, NPR News, Washington.